It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Who's Number One podcast. I believe we're episode 139 here. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all y'all out there. And man, do we have a show for you guys today. We're just 10 days out from Gordon Ryan versus Wagner Hosha. Who's Number One? We about to break it all down, give the full preview, everything you guys need, everything you guys want to know about this event. Here we go. We about to get into it. Of course, we got with me here today the main man, Corey, hanging out on the desk. What's up, Corey?
Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm always so excited. This week is as exciting as next week. Next week, we get everybody coming in, but right now, we get to talk about all of it and look ahead.
It's the calm before the storm. You know, next week is a crazy one. Always, we have the fighters coming in and we're shooting the promos. We're doing the weigh-ins. We're doing the press conference. It all happens so, so quick. Who's Number One weeks are so, so much fun. So really excited to get to it. Of course, always, we got the man back there, Connor Joshin, social media wizard back there, holding it down on the back desk for us. Who's Number One? How jacked are you, Connor, for this upcoming week?
Beyond stoked. We got a bunch of extra matches that we get to unveil here, so that's always a fun one.
True.
Man, Reed, I need you just to follow me around and hype me up constantly. I don't know.
You want me to take it down a level?
No, I want you to keep it at that level. This is the level we need for Who's Number One, especially just the week out. Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Hell
I'm excited.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Definitely a lot to talk about. Definitely just gets me excited. So like Connor said, couple changes to the Who's Number One card, but we got some big news, some big things to announce, you know, some exciting matches here. But Corey, maybe we can kind of kick it off. We lost a match last week. Tell us a little bit about what did we lose?
So we were all really hyped for the rematch for the Cade Rotolo versus Ethan Carlson rematch. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Cade got injured. So we're going to backfill that one with a new undercard match.
Yeah, I think that's important to note just because Ethan has, you know, he of course unfortunately missed ADCC with an injury. And but this time around, Ethan is fine. He's still out there training with the Puerto Rico crew and everything like that. We were thinking about trying to make another match happen, ultimately push the Cade match because it's just a match that I think everybody really, really wants to see.
The fans deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do that one again later on in April. But best wishes to Cade. Hopefully he recovers. He got hurt. I don't know if you guys know this. Cade got hurt, right? If you had to guess how he got hurt, what would be maybe your guess? Would it be A, he was training in a heel hook and popped his ankle? Or B, he was surfing. Maybe he was surfing and he ran into a rock, hurt his leg on a rock.
Or a shark attack.
Or a shark attack.
Yeah.
Or was it C, he was bitten by a rabid dog? If you said C, you were right, actually. This is not a surfing incident or a jiu-jitsu incident. Sounds like there was some crazy incident. Cade got hurt, bit by a dog. So definitely, hopefully he's doing all right, Cade. Hopefully you're doing all right out there. And speedy recoveries, because, yeah, I can't wait to see that one again. You think that's the right decision, Connor? We push the match back to April and do this one right?
Absolutely. I think everyone wants to see that rematch. I think Ethan, more than anything, wants it back. I feel bad Ethan doesn't get to get it right now. I think the best thing we can do for Cade right now is, rather than tell the truth about his injury, we have to start the shark attack rumor.
True.
That starts here. We carry it till we die.
Yep. Yeah. So shark attack, recovering from his Cade Ritolo, speedy recovery there, hopefully. So we're down a match. So that means, you know, we had to scramble to find a kind of a replacement match, a new match to put on the card, because we want to keep these things top level, elite competitors only, you know, the best of the best. And, you know, we landed on a pretty fun match here, I think. You want to give us a little preview of it here?
Yeah, so Andrew Tackett stepped up.
There you go.
We've been keeping an eye on him for good reason, right? The younger brother of William Tackett, every bit as fierce. Who's his opponent?
Sean Yatamarco, I believe is how you say his last name there. He's a Renzo Gracie guy. Actually, we just saw him a couple weekends ago. I saw him win brown belt, I believe it was medium heavyweight division at the Dallas Open, won gold there. So kind of wild. We just saw Sean out in Dallas working on his heel hook game and stuff like that. And now just a few days later, he gets the call to fight Andrew Tackett. Connor, what's your first reaction when you hear about this? Obviously, these two guys are kind of lower level guys. Maybe people don't know their names certainly as much as a Gordon Ryan or a Wagner Hosha, but these are two elite competitors on the come up in the scene, right?
Absolutely. To call them lower level is not to say anything about how good they are at jiu-jitsu, because they're both top notch. At this point, you know, the belt rankings for these guys only matter so much. Both of them are probably down to take on whatever black belt's willing to throw their name in there if they would be able to. It's exciting. Both of them can wrestle. Both of them are down to go in there and scrap. You know, Sean Yatamarco's, actually, I think he's either the head coach or the, you know, secondary head coach over there at Immortals Jiu-Jitsu out in New Jersey. And I know, you know, that Renzo Gracie, Jersey area, you know, they get some really good jiu-jitsu out of there. So it's going to be good. You match that up with Brazilian Fight Factory. That's a prelim match for the ages.
Yeah, those Jersey guys, they definitely breed them tough over there. Shout out to the Salt and the Strangles, fan of the show, who I believe trains with Sean out there at Immortals Jiu-Jitsu. So, you know, I believe Sean also has a wrestling background. Of course, he comes from the Jersey Renzo kind of family, so you know he's got a leg lock game. But you've been out to Brazilian Fight Factory a couple times now, right?
We went up there a couple weeks ago to do some filming with Yuri Samoyes when he was up there. And you know, Andrew looks great. They were playing this leg entanglement game we talked about a couple weeks ago. But I just recall Andrew looking at me and asking me, like, hey, do you want to jump on the mat? I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I thought, no, I absolutely don't want to jump. I don't want to jump on the mat with you right now. It looks like you're tearing people's limbs from their bodies.
Yeah, he's a long guy. Andrew's been out there killing it a lot lately. You know, he just had a match with Damian Anderson, who's a Renzo guy, not too long ago. So, you know, Andrew's going to be familiar with the Renzo game, I feel like. And, yeah, man, I mean, if he... Obviously, Andrew's accomplished a lot already, but man, if he is half as good as William is, like, geez, this kid's gonna be great. Because
that Damian Anderson match, that was a no time limit match. I think it went like 45 minutes or something like that. Yeah. It was a deep match, so you know he's got the gas tank for the 15 minute. Who's number one rules?
That's the thing about those young 16, 17 year olds, is that they just never get tired. It's no fun. It's no fair. I mean, anyway, another big match here that we announced last week that we didn't really get a chance to talk about here. Really fun one. We've been trying to get Cole Abate on the show for a little while here now, and so we got him. Cole Abate versus Ned Johnson. This is one of your buddies out there, 10th Planet, Austin Connor. Huge match. You got a couple clips here of Cole. This is when he's a little younger. He's a man. I see pictures of him now, and I can't believe how old and mature he looks. Because this is just a not too long ago. I believe this is just 2019. So you got Cole Abate versus Ned Johnson. Corey, what are your thoughts on this match when you first heard it here?
Yeah, you know, we always like to see Cole Abate, right? Mm-hmm. He's the next big thing coming out of the AOJ camp. And he just turned 16, so he's a blue belt now, but it's almost unfair to call him a blue belt, right? The level of his jiu-jitsu is, I mean, we've been watching it for a while. But Ned Johnson's been around for a while too, and I think he did pretty well at it was like an EBI style tournament. I think he took first or second in that tournament. So he may have the solution that a lot of people have been looking for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, I think if you've been on the channel, you've seen Cole out there before. You know, he's a Texas guy, San Antonio guy. He used to train down in San Antonio with Rodrigo Pinheiro for many, many years growing up down there. And then, of course, to take his jiu-jitsu to the next level, he went out to Costa Mesa, California, and joined up with the Mendez brothers. From what I've heard and what I've seen, we've seen Cole a couple times. You know, he's really making huge, huge strides in his jiu-jitsu you know, is going to be kind of, we're talking like the next Roberto Jimenez type of guy. This guy's on fire. But he has a game opponent, Ned Johnson from 10th Planet Austin here. He just did have a great showing at this last tournament that you were just talking about, Corey. Connor, I know you're familiar with Ned. What can we expect from him?
Ned lives in the training room. He's been running not only, you know, his expert level jiu-jitsu classes, but you know, he even gets in there and throws down with some wrestling courses. And you know me, I'm very particular with the kind of wrestling classes I take. But he is
only Greco-Roman, right?
Only Greco-Roman suplexes.
Yep,
and
yep.
Starting another rumor here, Ned is a Greco machine. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what's up. I like I said with Marcelo Cohn versus Mikey Musumeci, I say we keep throwing up names up there and seeing if people can snipe them. I'm excited to see what Ned can do here.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe Ned beat Andrew Tackett in that tournament. Is that right? Does anybody know? We'll have to check it out. We'll have to check out the results. But I know Ned's game. He's an Austin guy. You know, he's definitely going to be coming in as the underdog versus Cole. But from what I understand, I think those 10th Planet guys really really kind of relish the underdog role, it seems like. I think they like being counted out. So here's the perfect match for Ned. So Ned versus Cole, that is going to be on the Who's Number One card as well. So make sure you guys tune in early because there's just so many great fights on this card. Let's move it along here, though. Let's keep kind of talking about who's number one. I just got back from Vegas not too long ago, Las Vegas, Nevada, just a couple days ago. I went out there to visit the one, the only, Mikey Musumeci, as he prepares for his Who's Number One debut. Got to see a lot of fun things anyway. Got to see him training out there and stuff like that. We even got a couple little highlights of his training camp. But have you guys gotten a chance to take a look at some of his training here? What are you gleaming from Mikey's Nogi game?
You know, the last time we had this conversation, I think it was maybe the last podcast, the one before, I talked about being curious how Mikey's Gi-specific game would apply in a no-gi setting, right? It's really cool to see the way he's using his inversions and his grips, even a little bit of leg lock action here. And just, you know, as I've said before, I'm really impressed with his passing. I've always been impressed with the way he passes guard when he gets there, and I think it applies very well to no-gi, and that's kind of what we got to see here.
You know, I feel like you kind of have like a similar game to Mikey a little bit. You're, you know, certainly one smaller guy, play the a lot of the game that he plays. When you watch him doing the no-gi stuff, transferring a lot of the same things that he does from gi to no-gi, are you looking at kind of like things and how to apply these to your no-gi game too?
Absolutely, because the hardest thing taking an inversion heavy, Baron Bolo heavy game and making it no-gi is the lack of grips, right? Or the difference in grips. So watching the way that he sets this up differently.
Just cupping the heel right there.
Right. And then the follow-up grips are huge, right? He focuses a lot more on that twister hook rather than, you know, maybe a pant grip. There are a lot of little details I think we can all take from the way that he applies his game in no-gi.
How about you, Connor? You got a chance to watch some of this Mikey training no-gi stuff? It's pretty wild.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's you get curious what it's going to look like, and you expect it to be something super different. But, you know, without the gi, Mikey is still just a technical master. He's a genius. How he moves is, it almost seems like there just isn't many answers for the questions that he puts out there. It gets me just more excited. You know, he's in there. The questions we have about heel hooks, you know, the clips that we got to see, it looks like he was doing really well of protecting leg entries. You know, this could mean, if Mikey looks as crisp as he does here, just rolling, this could mean a big problem for lightweights, in the no-gi scene right now.
This is such an underrated part of Mikey's game, that like leg juggling that he does from the Baron Bolos and from those kind of crab ride positions, like the way he can kind of just like juggle guys who are, you know, way bigger than him and keep their hips elevated off the ground. So impressive.
That's actually something I'm going to be releasing an article on later this week.
Oh, wow.
I talked with a couple of Mikey's first black belts, and they kind of broke down for me the way they systematize Baron Buller defense and how to counter the defenses. We spent a lot of time studying Mikey, so some of that will be coming out on Sunday.
Is that the Nick Salas and those guys?
And Danny Myra.
That's cool, because I saw that Mikey's out there kind of with them, right? Like, I think right now, yeah. Training and stuff like that. Some really good guys out there on the East Coast. What I learned, though, really, when I was out there, is that Mikey, you know, he doesn't... he's not going to be training too much no-gi for this match, which I think is honestly a little surprising. I expected to go there and it was going to be all no-gi, you know, but Mikey is just, he's a savant in the gi and he's constantly improving. It's crazy to watch. You think that this guy who's as good as he is, three-time, you know, gi world champion and accomplished the things he's accomplished. But he's still so excited to train the gi and to you know, have those little minute grip details and things like that. He's so focused on the gi and winning worlds another time. So it's an interesting thing that he's not going to be training too much no gi, it sounds like, for this matchup. What do you think, Connor? Good idea, bad idea?
I mean, I'm not gonna tell Mikey Musumeci.
Yeah, you
how to
better
train.
Not, dude.
I see you're baiting me there. Look, Mikey Musumeci can get ready for whatever competition, however he sees fit.
True.
I'm curious, if this is going to be a thing. I know he had said he wants to make a no-gi run. I don't know if it will, him training specifically in the gi will directly impact the results of this no-gi fight. But if we're looking at like a no-gi run, for example, say he wants to do 2022 ADCC, I'm just going to start that rumor too. Say he wants to. Is he going to do, you know, only gi training for that as well? I hope that's not the case. But again, Mikey Musumeci, you train however you want, brother.
Yeah, obviously we did talk a little bit about ADCC, and that is definitely on his radar. You know, ADCC is something that he says that, you know, when he was a kid, Mikey was a no-gi guy when he was a kid. You know, we have a really great highlight of Mikey on the site. From when he was like 4 years old till when he became a black belt. It's kind of like just an over the years highlight that Mikey made, actually. And you can see a lot of no-gi stuff early when he's like 8 years old, 10 years old. He's training a lot of no-gi, and he's doing a lot of these like nagas and stuff, and he's wrestling, he's taking dudes down. I think ADCC is definitely on the horizon for him. He's a little weary about the weight being 66. He weighs kind of like 135, and guys usually kind of cut down from 160. But come on, matches like Mikey versus Kennedy, Mikey versus Tanquinho, Mikey versus Jamil Hill, and Mikey versus Mateus Gabriel. Those are some crazy matches. That sounds like a lot of fun. How do you think Mikey matches up in that 66 division, Connor?
We're gonna see a little bit of this week.
You think he's too undersized? Weekend. Do you think he is too undersized? Or
I don't know if he's too undersized. I think he will make up for it. I mean, the guy again looks like he can crush people just by bear hugging them. But again, you know, he's willing to do the absolute in the gi. I don't know how much that weight disparity is going to really affect him without the gi, without the grips to slow everything down and keep people at bay when he needs to. I think he will be fine. Mm-hmm. Mikey Musumeci can hang with what I believe any weight class, any tournament in the world if he's not winning it.
He says that he's excited to show that his no-gi is even better than his gi game.
I can't wait to see it.
Hard to believe? Yeah. Or you believe him?
It is hard to believe based on the caliber of his gi game. I don't disbelieve him, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Mikey believes it's that good, it's probably that good. Just a quick thought I had on the ADCC discussion. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be really curious to see what Mikey's wrestling looks like.
Mm.
Because that's something that, you know, people have gotten away with not having wrestling in ADCC, but it's a definite advantage, right, to be able to wrestle, especially in a division with Tanquinho and Kennedy. Guys like that who are going to make you wrestle them.
Yeah, and I think that's what Mikey's so good at, too, is, like, he's a winner, A. He really is first kind of a winner. And he's a guy who can look at a rule set, look at a competition or whatever, you know, and understand immediately kind of, like, what he needs to do to win. And I think – or he'll put the work in to understand what he has to do to win. So I think that's something he'll do for ADCC. Okay, what do I need to do to win these competitions, or what's the you know, kind of the route to win these competitions? And wrestling is certainly a part of that. So I think he'll bring wrestling into his game just because it's you have to. Right. You have to at this point in ADCC, I feel like. We haven't talked too much about his opponent, Marcelo Cohen. Of course, he's definitely, you know, the underdog coming into this match. But he's you know, more of a no-gi guy. He's had some big wins here in the no-gi pans. He's had some fight to wins and things like that. Certainly an active competitor. But definitely the underdog here. You know, he hasn't accomplished the things that Mikey has accomplished, but this is the opportunity for a guy like Marcelo Cohen. Could you imagine if Marcelo goes out there and does topple Mikey Musumeci? Suddenly Marcelo Cohen is a huge, huge star. Nobody, you know, nobody has beaten Mikey, especially if you can go out there and submit him or just take him out of his element. This is a huge, huge opportunity for Marcelo Cohen. And I just wanted to say that. I know that we have a little clip here actually too of Mikey talking about his who's number one opponent, Marcelo Cohen. So maybe we can play that and see what Mikey's perspective is on this match.
It'll be an awesome match. I respect Marcelo a lot, and it should be fun. You know, we all compete, win or lose. We're all there to learn together, right? You know, so I hope that he could expose a weakness in my jiu-jitsu. You know, that's why I'm competing. If he could expose a weakness in my jiu-jitsu, I'm going to improve because I'll fix that weakness. So if he exposes that, it's a win for me. If he doesn't, and I win the match, I win anyway. So it's a win-win, you know. So that's how I see competing with anyone, you know. So I'm grateful to him for taking the opportunity to compete with me, so he could try to expose my game and fix holes in my game for me.
Certainly an interesting perspective there, Connor. I know you just were out there competing, right? You competed last weekend.
A little bit of a smaller stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you think about Mikey's perspective on competition?
I think he's approaching Marcelo like he would almost like a practice partner, it sounds like. And I don't think that means he's looking past him. I think that really speaks to, you know, the value that Mikey finds in competition. I think, you know, competition is where he, you know, pressure tests himself, and this is just another example of that. And you were saying earlier, you know, if Marcelo is able to snipe him, that's absolutely possible. And if Marcelo is, you know, to, like Mikey said, that may show some blaring holes in Mikey's no-gi game, if that's mm-hmm. the case. Mm-hmm. Like, then we got to start shelving this ADCC conversation and go, you know, if Marcelo can take you out, is that a critique on Mikey's game, or is that, like, you know, a leveling up of Marcelo? I think that's a fair way to question the fight.
I think if Marcelo can beat Mikey, that's got to be a guaranteed ADCC invite.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I think if he takes him out, that's got to be a guaranteed invite. We'll talk to Mo about that. We'll figure that one out.
We got you, Marcelo. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So when you go out there and compete, Connor, are you thinking, man, I hope this guy can expose all the weaknesses in my game?
I have a feeling me and Mikey have a little bit of a different style. I'm more of a, how can I, like, you know, cheese grate people as much as possible, you know? I respect
get out unscathed.
Yeah. Exactly. I respect the Wagner Hosha response. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would love to hear what Corey says. Corey has way more competition experience.
Well, I think this goes to what Reed was saying about Mikey's winner mentality, right? It's not enough for Mikey to win a match. He wants to win a match while also learning how he could win better, mm-hmm. you know, how he mm-hmm. could win more. Mm-hmm. And that's something that only, you know, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Bruno Malfacinis of the world, right, the Mikey Musumecis of the world can do, and have the mentality and the mental fortitude to be able to put themselves in a situation where I might win and I might lose, but even if I'm winning, I can win better.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point. Listening to Mikey talk about jiu-jitsu and talk about his approach, man, I could listen to it all day, because he just has such a unique approach to everything, from competition to drilling to to training and you know, everything. He there's no wasted movement. There's no wasted thought. There's no wasted anything with Mikey. You know, he's so precise and knows exactly what to do. So we got a lot of interview clips and some more training footage, some more drilling footage We got a whole bunch of stuff with Mikey kind of up on the site. I encourage you guys to go check it out, where he's talking about heel hooks. He's talking gi versus no gi. He's talking Marcelo, who's number one, and beyond. So if you're interested in Mikey, which if you're watching this show, of course you're interested in Mikey, definitely check it out on Flow Grappling. We got a bunch of cool stuff with Mikey out there. So I can't wait to see him. Can't wait to see him, you know, what he looks like here on Wednesday and when he comes in. And can't wait to see what goes down on the Who's Number One mats, man. That's what makes it so exciting. So many question marks. And like these guys said, you know, you can't count guy like Marcelo Cohen out. He's dangerous, and he's coming for the upset. So should be a lot of fun. Guys, plenty of great matches on this one. I just wanted to talk maybe a little bit more about Gordon versus Wagner. You know, obviously, since the last Who's Number One, it just felt like the entire jiu-jitsu world had been kind of shaken up a little bit from what happened and everything like that. And so been a crazy month or a crazy couple weeks since that happened. We're coming up on the next Who's Number One, Gordon versus Wagner. How do you think the lead up has been going, to be honest? I thought it was a little subdued a little bit. You haven't seen Gordon and Wagner going at each other too much yet.
Yeah, and with their personalities, you would expect quite the opposite, right? You would expect them to be chipping. But I think given, you know, what happened the last year's number one, everybody's kind of backed off a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, huh?
Maybe not the worst thing in the world, but I think that we need to definitely make the point again that this matchup is going to be exciting for a number of reasons, right? And those two reasons are Gordon Ryan and Wagner Hosha. Mm-hmm. Gordon Ryan, who in his last Who's Number One match against Roberto Jimenez, called his shot, you know, said he was going to win by armbar, attacked an armbar, failed, attacked an armbar again, and won.
Do you think he's going to try to do that again? Do you think he's going to do the same thing with Wagner or a different submission, but call it?
You know, it wasn't the first time that Gordon's done that. And yeah. I think that in his mind, every match is too easy for him, so he might as well make it a bit more challenging. You know, he's also motivated by, you know, wanting to, and he's not shameless about this, wanting to promote himself and his instructionals, right? Yeah, saying, hey, I just did an armbar on submissions from mount, and also I'm going to finish an armbar from mount. Mm-hmm. But Wagner is not going to go in there wanting to let that happen.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, you got to think Wagner's going to be checking social media, or like his team is going to be checking social media moments before the match, right?
But even if that's not the case, you know, Wagner is two different people off the mat and on the mat. I mean, we've said this time and time again that off the mat, he's one of the nicest people you ever meet. But on the mat, yeah. he has no problem with stirring the pot a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Wagner, he's out there in Hollywood. I keep saying Hollywood, California. Hollywood, Florida is where he is. We went out there and visited him as well for this matchup. Got to sit down and talk to Wagner about the Gordon matchup and about, you know, just kind of all the drama that is swirling around Gordon and everything like that. So actually, we have a little clip here. Maybe we can play of Wagner talking about his perspective on the match.
It goes back to the trolling on the internet, you know. You know, people have huge egos, you know, and Gordon pokes at majority of the guys on the internet, you know. A lot of guys in the sport are Brazilian, and my Brazilian counterparts, they don't know how to react to him. They don't know how to deal with his humor and his following, and they jump on the bait, and they listen to him, and they argue with him, and they go back and forth. And you know, and Gordon does fight on the Who's Number One stage, and the terms are set on his rule set and his time limit and whatever it is he wants to do. And you know, being that he is the number one guy in the world, I get it. You know, that's what he wants to do. Then that's where you got to fight him. And a lot of the guys that are at the top of the game, they're avoiding him. You know, and they're avoiding him not because of scared of losing, but scared to deal with him. Deal with his antics afterwards or during. You know, most guys don't want to deal with that. You know, most guys don't want to be part of that. Most guys don't understand how to react and how to not be fazed by that, you know. And like I said, you know, his ways have some huge benefits on one end because he brings a lot of attention to the sport. But on the other end, it's tarnishing his opportunities, you know. He's had to fight two guys now that are not in his weight class, you know, Roberto being one, you know, which was a fight that, you know, if Roberto had said no, it would have made, you know, would have made him, would have put him on the back burner again, you know. And me, I'm just a guy who's willing to go and face anybody, you know. My motto is anytime, anyone, anywhere, you know. So I'm, again, not challenging anyone, you know. I'm just here to live through something I've dreamt would never happen, you know. Do jiu-jitsu on a professional stage, be compensated for it, you know, get recognized for it, and showcase, you know, what I do best.
Anytime, anyone, anywhere. Great quote from the legend, Wagner Hosha. Like he says, having, you know, trouble finding opponents for a guy like Gordon Ryan for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the social media, whether it's the jiu-jitsu or whatnot. But you call up Wagner Hosha and he'll say yes pretty much no matter what before you even get the question out. You know, this is a guy who, like he says, anyone, anywhere, anytime, doesn't matter to Wagner. You can appreciate that that perspective, Connor?
Absolutely. I think that's kind of the attitude you have to have when you're going to, A, face down a guy like Gordon Ryan. I mean, we know he's one of, if not the best in the world, point blank, period. Two, if you're going to deal with his, you know, social media antics, you're signing up for both. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
You can't really separate them unless you happen to fall into one of those, you know, lucky few opponents like Roberto, where Gordon had, you know, quite a bit of respect coming into it. I think Mateus Taniz didn't end up being like a target of Gordon's social media wrath either. Mm-hmm, but, you know, even in those cases, Gordon will find a way to stir the pot with somebody. He did it with Hinaldo Jr. when Craig was facing Hinaldo and he was facing someone else. And that, like, you know, helped us, you know, stir that Atos versus DDS pot. I don't know if we're going to see that near as much here. I know he had some words to say about, you know, Cyborg and why he thought Cyborg wouldn't take the match unless it was under ADCC rules. You know, so I think Wagner has the right approach here. Not every opponent does, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep, of course. We mentioned that it's been a little tame, the trash talk, but of course Gordon is still out there right. Talking trash.
Well,
so.
And I'm wondering, this is something Wagner said in that clip, right, mm-hmm. is that part of the reason that Gordon might not be able to find some opponents is because he's just that good. But the other part of the reason is because even if he's that good and you want to take the fight, you may be a little cautious because, okay, in the ramp up to and the ramp out of the fight, I'm going to have to deal with a barrage of social media.
Yeah.
Do you think that's hurting Gordon's ability to find a fight?
Yeah, 100%. I think so. I mean, I think that's probably keeping him from getting fights more than, you know, just what he's done on the mats. I think collectively, and just like Wagner says, you know, it's a lot of Brazilians that he's kind of has this rivalry with, and you know, Gordon is just from that era, that time where he is just he's just on fire in social media, you know, like that is his Thunderdome. Like, you don't want to enter into the social media Thunderdome with Gordon because he's just so good at it, and I think that a lot of the guys know that, and you know, especially in a 2021 world when in a pandemic when we're just like living on social media so much that can start to torment your like actual real life, you know. So I can understand why they're not into it. You know, I hope we can see some of these matches that Gordon's talking about, you know, so some of his rivals and stuff like that. But I have to imagine that, yeah, it's definitely affecting things. You know, I think Wagner, of course, you know, we don't have to talk Wagner up too much. He's the things that he's accomplished in the sport, who he is in the sport kind of speaks for himself. But Corey, I'm just wondering, you know, obviously the things that Gordon, we've seen Gordon do have just been incredible. If you were Wagner, what would your strategy be for going out there and taking on Gordon?
I mean, the nice thing here for Wagner is that what Gordon is most likely going to do is going to play towards Wagner's strength, right?
Yeah.
Gordon's not going to wrestle with Wagner, and Gordon's not going to try and play top. He's going to pull guard and try and set up his A game, B game sweeps right away.
Yep.
That could work in Wagner's favor because the best place for him to be statistically is on top. He almost never gets swept by anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Craig Jones was the last guy. I mentioned this before. Craig Jones was the last guy to sweep him. Craig Jones stayed on top for 15 seconds. And that's it. In the last 2 years, only time he's been swept.
Wow.
So statistically, that's his best bet, right?
Yeah.
Now, how do you pass Gordon Ryan's guard? That's a whole nother question.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast discussion is what you're telling me. yeah, obviously, I think Wagner just needs to kind of do what he does, right? Do his what he does best out there. You know, he passed John Blank's guard. He fended off the John Blank's leg locks and was able to pass his guard and get the win there. I think that's what he's going to be trying to do out there. Obviously, easier said than done against a guy like Gordon. But from what I've seen, we're got a lot of other stuff coming on the way too. And from what we've seen, you know, Wagner's ready. He's not backing down from a challenge. Guys, it's about that time. I think we do some predictions. That's right. Everybody's favorite segment here on Who's Number One. We are gonna predict all seven matches. Corey, myself, and Connor, we're going to put on our thinking caps and do our best to call how this one's going to go down. I'm pretty sure I got all my picks right last week, last Who's Number One. You don't quote me on that.
Can we fact check?
I'm pretty sure I got all my predictions right. So hopefully we'll go two events for two events here. But let's dig into this right here, man. There's all seven matches. A lot of big names up there. We'll start with you, Corey. Andrew Tackett versus Sean Yadamarko, the newest match on the card. Who are you taking?
Yeah, Andrew Tackett is the purple belt in this purple versus brown belt matchup, right?
That's right, yeah.
But I still think you know, both Andrew and William are doing incredible things right now. They're fighting up. They're taking opponents who, by all measures, should beat them. I have Andrew Tackett in this one.
Andrew Tackett, there you go. I'm going to take Sean on this one. Obviously, I love me some Andrew Tackett, the Tackett brothers. Those guys look incredible out there. But from what I see in the pictures on Sean, he looks like a big guy, man. He looks like you know, a big upper body wrestler type of dude. I think that could give Andrew Tackett some problems. Like I said, Andrew had that match with Damian Anderson, I believe it was just like a couple months ago. So I think Andrew is going to be ready for that Renzo Gracie kind of style. But Sean Yadamarko there, we saw him out there in Dallas. He looked really good, looks big. So I'm going to take Sean Yadamarko on this one. How about you, Connor, back there?
I would like to point out that last time Andrew Tackett faced a Renzo Gracie guy, he did get the W.
He did get the W. It's true.
I'm doubling down on that. We're gonna give it to Tackett. Brazilian Fight Factory has been pumping out lots of W's lately, and I think this is gonna be another one on an awesome stage for Andrew to be a part of.
So they keep it on a roll. This match is gonna be free on Facebook and YouTube. So make sure you guys check into that one. I'm gonna kick off this next match here: Cole Abate versus Ned Johnson. All respect to Ned and the 10th Planet crew, but got to give all the love here to Cole. Just been watching him for too long and seen his development and see what he's been able to do out there lately. And you know he's training every day with Hafa, Gi, and Jonata, and Tynan, and all the killers out there at AOJ. So going to be hard for me to see how Ned wins this one, but definitely looking forward to it. What do you got, Corey?
Yeah, I hate to be the bandwagon jumper here.
Jump on, bro.
I've got to go with Cole Abate too. Cole Abate is just proving time and time again he's going to be something special. He did this. It was a smaller tournament, right? But he ran through, I think, like 12 adult blue belts as a 16-year-old. I think that he should have no problem getting submission here.
There you go. Connor, what are you doing, bro?
You're sleeping on my guy.
Sleeping on your
Ned,
guy.
Ned is going to go in there. I've seen him training. He's training hard, right? And I think that wrestling is going to surprise people. I think people are going to be expecting a very 10th Planet-y, you know, style. And I think he's going to come in with something people aren't expecting. So I'm taking my guy, Ned, here. Also, I would like to point out, the chat has fact checked you and your record so far, so we can leave it unsaid. But go check the YouTube chat if you want Reed's last whiteboard wars.
Let's cut Connor off there and let's move on. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give you first crack here at the at Tama versus Taza.
Ooh, you know what? Give me Oliver Taza. I like the Renzo style. I know Johnny can hang in those leg entanglements, But last time we saw, you know, Johnny Tama face down, I believe it was Ethan Krellenstein, which we talked about previously. It did seem like Ethan Krellenstein was on the attack the whole time. And despite Johnny wading through that, I think attacks matter quite a bit. Give me Oliver Tazza.
There you go. Oliver Tazza, Johnny Tama. What are you taking, Corey?
This is a tough one. This is a tough one.
So is this maybe the toughest match on the card to call?
I was just going to say, I want to point this out. I think this is going to be the fight of the night. It just got bumped up from an undercard where it definitely didn't belong.
Mm-hmm. Two high level guys.
Yeah, to the first fight on the main card. Yeah, this is fight of the night. I could see it going either way. The one thing that I want to point out is that Johnny did a really good job of staying out of Ethan's leg entanglement, mm-hmm. which I think mm-hmm. is where both Ethan and Oliver Tazza shine best. That being said, Tazza definitely, you know, he's proven to us that he has other submissions. But I think Tazza has a solution here. I think he's going to play safe when he needs to. I think he's going to be explosive when he needs to. I think he finds a way to win.
So you're going
with Johnny Tama.
Johnny Tama. Wow. So I got split. Johnny versus Oliver, 1-1 here. You know, great matchup. I think this is tough. I keep going back and forth kind of on both these guys. Obviously, Tazza down there in Puerto Rico with the Denner Death Squad. Hard to count out him and his team. He's been on such a roll. But I'll agree with Corey here. I'll take Johnny Tama. I think, like you said, talking to him last weekend, it seemed like he's really kind of focused in on this match, knows how big of an opportunity it is to fight on who's number one against a guy like Oliver Tazza. You know, I think Johnny is one of the few kind of IBJJF guys who has the knowledge of the leg locks to compete with Oliver. So should make for some interesting scrambles. But I think Tama in this rule set, in this setting, I think he's going to have more tools to get the win. So I'll take Tama on that one.
Let me just jump in here real quick. Absolutely we have not. Michael Sears, who has entered the chat to give his picks.
Oh, God. Michael Sears. You may have heard of him. The mastermind behind Who's Number One, weighing in here. What do we got?
So it's not going to show up on the board, but just to add this in, Michael so far is going with Yada Marco, Cole, and Johnny Tama.
There you go. Okay, so another one for Johnny, another one for Cole, and another one for Sean Yatamarco. Another great match on the list here. Rafael Guedes versus Maggie Grindati. Atos versus Fight Sports. Two of the biggest teams in jiu-jitsu, of course. Opposite coasts, Florida and California. Two really great females on the come up, kind of in the black belt divisions. Rafael is very young in her black belt career. Maggie as well, really. You know, Maggie's had some good matches on Who's Number One. She fought Liz Clay not too long ago. And so Maggie, no stranger to this stage. This is a big step up, I think, for Rafael. Just because she's used to kind of the IBJJF circuit, I feel like, and so doesn't do too many of these, although she has done fight to wins. But I'm going to jump out the gate here. I'll lead this one off. You know, I think I'm going to take the upset here. I know a lot of people are picking Rafael to be kind of the next big thing in female jiu-jitsu. I just, you know, every time I go down to fight sports, I really do see Maggie all the time, and she really is one of the hardest workers in that room. In that room in fight sports is just an incredible room. You have Wagner, you have Cyborg, you have Tex, you have Baby Monster, you have Tom Halpin, you have you know, Anna Carolina, and so there's just so many names in that room. But every single time I go there, it just feels like Maggie is like one of the hardest workers out there. She's out there running the strength and conditioning, and she's out there training with Anna Carolina and all those girls. So you know, I'd like to see Maggie get a big win here on this Who's Number One stage. So I'm going to take Maggie. Connor, how about you, brother?
You know, when we've seen Maggie really perform at her best, I think ADCC Trials was an excellent example of just that.
That's a great point.
It's because she's more physical than the other person. She's a powerhouse. She has great pressure. She can work through submissions like most girls can't. I don't know if that strategy plays out near as well against Rafaela. I think Rafaela is probably the most violent woman in the women's division, and I don't put my money against her very often. I can think of three people I would consider putting over Rafaela. And Maggie just isn't one of them. She's an awesome competitor. Obviously, she did great on the last Who's Number One until Elizabeth was able to sink in that finish. But I got to go to Hafaela.
True. Sure. She's been looking good lately for sure. So where are you going, Corey?
So I'll jump onto that. She's not just looking good lately. She's actually 9-1 as a black belt.
There you go.
Her one loss was to Amanda Levy, who has also beaten Maggie twice.
ADCC trials winner there. Right. Very tough, Amanda Levy.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have to give this to Hafaela. She looks relatively unbeatable now. She's taken out even some of the best competitors in that division. She beat Anna Carolina at Fight to Win. She beat Liz Clay at Fight to Win. I don't see anybody stopping her right now.
There you go. So two for Hafaela. And
Michael is also going Hafaela.
Michael's going Hafaela. Okay. So, I think she deserves the hype. Like Corey said, you guys got both C names. It keeps throwing me off.
We're just here to confuse you. Yeah.
Like Corey said, though, 9-1 as a black belt. She's definitely taken the female divisions by storm, looking really good out there. Excited to see how she could shake up ADCC divisions as well. So let's move it on here to the big one. This is one I'm really, really, really looking forward to. Obviously, I think everybody's looking forward to this one. But Mikey Musumeci versus Marcelo Cohen. Obviously Mikey's the favorite here. Hard to pick against Mikey. So I'm going to go Mikey by submission. I think that, he's just that good. I think Mikey has some of the best jiu-jitsu in all of jiu-jitsu. I mean, if he was 200 pounds, he might be able to beat Gordon. So I like Mikey Musumeci in this one, despite him not training Nogi, despite him, favoring the gi, it seems like a little bit, even still. I think, like he says, jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu, whether it's gi or no gi, and Mikey's got some of the best of it in the world here. And, not sure how I'm sure you guys are just going to probably pick Marcelo, so we can just move on. No, I'm just kidding. Corey, what do you think, man, here? I know Mikey's the favorite. What do you think?
It just like I'm going to give you a preview of my pick for the main event too.
Okay.
But there are two of the best in the world on this card, and I can't see a reason to pick against either of them. Mm-hmm. I have to lean Mikey here. It's not just Marcelo Cohen that I don't think can beat him. I don't think that there's anybody at that weight class right now, 135, 145, even maybe in the higher weight classes, mm-hmm. that can mm-hmm. beat Mikey, gi or no gi, right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going Mikey here.
What do you think, Connor? Does Marcelo pull off the upset?
He pulls it off. We're starting the hype train right now. You gotta respect Mikey's pedigree. You can't act like this is going to be an easy match going into it. I'm pulling for the underdogs. This back table is the upset table. And this upset table, we're going to put $5 down on all the underdogs. And one of these days,
yep,
we're going to make profit.
We're going to get you a marble table.
Yeah, and Marcelo's going to get me that marble table back here, all right?
Connor's used to being the underdog, so he's taking one for his buddies there.
I'll throw it down.
Awesome. No disrespect to Marcelo, obviously. Can't wait to see him go out there. And if he can pull off the upset, suddenly Marcelo is the new guy, is the talk of the town. So good luck to both those guys. Really looking forward to it. Yuri Samoyes versus Nick Rodriguez, two big boys throwing down on the Who's Number One mats. I think this is collectively the largest, I mean, like mass-wise, the largest match we've ever had on Who's Number One. Both these guys, getting bigger and bigger out there, it seems. I was out there in Puerto Rico and can confirm that Nick Rodriguez's biceps are getting bigger. So somehow. So there's that. Of course, Yuri, two-time ADCC champion. He's always a killer. He's out there in the MMA sphere these days, but training with the likes of the Brazilian top team guys. I'm going to throw it to you, Connor, here first. What are you thinking on this one? Yuri Samoyes versus Nick Rodriguez. Could go a lot of different ways here.
It could go a lot of different ways. The real question is, what submission could it end in? I mean, and I think if it does, it'll have to end in Yuri's favor.
You just think Yuri's the more talented submission artist?
I mean, from what we've seen so far. But again, we haven't seen, how many months has it been since we've seen, Nicky Rod really put in a lot of work. And I think in the past, he's been working under rule sets that don't exactly encourage submission-oriented offense. So maybe we'll see something different. But you know what? Give me Nicky Rod. I'm throwing it down on Nicky Rod too.
I mean, he is the black belt slayer after all.
And Yuri's an ADCC specialized, you know, champion, and Nicky Rod's built to beat ADCC champs. We're starting the hype train again.
There you go. All right, what are you seeing here, Corey? Nick Rodriguez, Yuri Samoyans. Like I said, this one's hard to pick because does it go to the ground? Is it a wrestling match the whole time? Does Nick go after heel hooks? Does Yuri go after, you know, front headlock? Like, with, you know, it's a lot of stuff that could happen.
Here's why I'm so excited about this match.
Okay.
We've had a couple of, like, good wrestling exchanges on the Who's Number One stage, right? Think about every time Cody Steele's been on, every time Dante's been on.
Gio Martinez.
Even Gio's takedown. Which was completely out of nowhere, but it might seal the deal.
Yeah.
But we've had matches that have been wrestling-friendly. We've never had two guys that are known as just, like, takedown artists. One thing I did look at last week that I spent a little bit of time on, going back through Yuri's ADCC runs, all three of them, and Nicky Rod's ADCC run, both incredible takedown artists. This we already know. Nicky hasn't scored a point in ADCC. Yuri scored a lot of points, and if you know anything about the ADCC rule set, very hard to score. You have you have to basically pin the guy to score, right? Does that play into the Who's Number One rule set? I don't know. If it becomes a takedown battle, we've got to go to Yuri here. And if it becomes, you know, if it goes to the ground, I think Yuri's jiu-jitsu, regardless of how much and who Nicky Rod's been training with, I think Yuri's jiu-jitsu is just a little bit more advanced. I'm going Yuri here.
Well,
I can't call the shot. There's no way of saying how this match ends up. This is going to be an exciting one.
Yeah. You know, one thing I love about both these guys is that they're like, they're such good competitors. You know, when they come out onto the mats, they're not guys who kind of mess around or you know, spend a lot of time slapping fists and bumping for you know, a while. Like, when these two get on the mats, like, it is on. These guys are ready to throw down. Yuri is an intense competitor. I definitely would not want to compete against Yuri, just because I've seen him get really fired up in a competition. I've seen you know, maybe not the same from Nick, but he's definitely a guy who gets fired up. He doesn't quite have that same, like, jiu-jitsu etiquette, you know what I mean when I say that? Like the, I don't know, jiu-jitsu, I feel like Nicky just, like, goes out there and tries to kind of steamroll guys, and it's not quite the jiu-jitsu way all the time. I'm gonna take Nicky Rodriguez here as well. You know, I was really fired up and high on Nicky's ADCC run. I think he's a really physical guy. He's going to be hard to get down. He's not going to pull guard. And I think, you know, like we've seen kind of in some of these other matches, eventually I think Yuri will either pull or will find the way to get it to the ground some way. And from there, I just think Nick is just too athletic and just too fast for a lot of these guys, and I think he'll be able to kind of jump over the guard, jump around, and maybe find Yuri's back. But should be a fun one. That one's gonna be crazy. Hopefully, you know, our cameras can capture it all. I have a feeling this one's gonna be going all over the mat, so definitely looking forward to that one.
Michael Sears predicts it goes through a table.
There you go. That is a good,
I think, at a bare minimum sets it up for fight of the night, right?
Can we set up like a prop bet for that?
I think we can.
How many tables get broken during Yuri versus Nick Rodriguez?
I think we should strategically place some, like, foldable tables around, kind of like they do in WWE, just to give them the opportunity. Like,
some, like, ladders under the mat and stuff.
This one definitely has the highest chance of somebody who's not fighting having their limbs broken during the match.
yeah.
Are you going to be in the room? You got to have your head on the swivel, man.
I'm going to make sure to leave the room for this one.
Yep. Wow. And through all that, guys, there's still one more match. Huge matches we've been talking about. But, of course, it all comes down to the main event. Two guys who are some of everybody's favorite to watch out there. Gordon Ryan versus Wagner Hosha. These guys are two of the best in the world. We have a great promo video coming out tomorrow. Make sure y'all check this out. I think you're going to want to watch it. There's so much to go over this matchup, the history between these two, EBI, their other previous matches, and they've interacted with each other so much over the years. Of course, there's just such an epic story kind of behind this matchup. So definitely check out this promo video you're going to be dropping tomorrow. But maybe I'll kick this one off. No. Yeah. No, I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off. Who am I going to pick here? Who am I going to pick? It's hard to pick against Gordon Ryan, of course. But I'll take Wagner Rocha all day in this, actually, just because being out there in Florida, seeing what this guy's doing, I think he's, like I said, he knows how important a win over Wagner, over Gordon Ryan is. So much trash talk. He could be able to hang this over kind of Gordon's head for the rest of eternity. It's that such a big deal, in my opinion. And, you know, he's been out there preparing with guys like Cyborg, with guys like Tex. He's going to be prepared for the leg lock battles, in my opinion. And I think it goes 30 minutes. And I think Wagner pushes the pace for 30 minutes. And I think he can get the decision win at the end of it. That's what I'm going to take. Connor, what about you, bro?
You know, I pulled against Mikey. I can't pull against Gordon on this one. I got to go Gordon. I do think it is going to be interesting because I think Wagner's going to come in with a little bit of that physical game plan. You know, I think his best chance is to frustrate Gordon in trying to snipe a submission rather than playing that, you know, positional game with dominating and choosing exactly how he wants to finish. But when I think about this match, I think, okay, will Wagner be able to do anything Mateus Denise was not able to?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the answer is pretty clear. I just don't see, you know, Mateus is at a beautiful technical pressure style jiu-jitsu. And while Wagner's jiu-jitsu is obviously world-class, you know, top of the food chain, I don't know if it's technically better than Mateus, and it didn't help him any. So
there you go. It's a good way to look at it. So you're taking Gordon?
Got to take Gordon.
Taken Gordon. What do you think, Corey?
You have to know where I'm going with this one.
All right. Wagner Hosha it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you know, Wagner is the number one ranked middleweight.
Yeah.
He deserves to be there.
Yep.
He's the number seven ranked pound for pound. He deserves to be there. He's no chump. He's one of the best in the world. But you find me anybody who's on a 50-match win streak or a 38-match win streak with 16 of his last 19 submissions, that's the guy I'm picking.
That's the guy.
Whether it's Craig Jones or Roberto Jimenez, if any one of those guys ever hits a 38-match win streak with 16 of 19 submissions, picking them.
There you go.
So it's Gordon Ryan all the way for me.
There you go. And of course, you know, I do believe that Gordon Ryan could win this, believe it or not. I do believe that. But of course, you know, Gordon's amazing out there. I just think that at some point here, somebody is going to beat Gordon Ryan. I think that, like, that's true deep down in my heart, that eventually here, Gordon Ryan is going to lose. It just happens, right? It happens to everybody. Everybody loses eventually. And could it be Wagner Rocha that hands him this first loss?
When you make that bet, do you mind cutting me in? So I need that marble table out here. You know what I mean? I think that may be the
you're
one.
You're trying to upgrade your table?
Yeah, we're trying to make this bougie back here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. But, you know, when I think Ken Wagner beat Gordon, I think it's possible. So for me, eventually Gordon's going to lose. Why not Wagner Rocha? I think it's possible. But of course, we won't know until next Friday who's number one, March 26th, Wagner Rocha versus Gordon Ryan, Yuri Samoyes, Nick Rodriguez. Huge, huge card. Plenty of great jiu-jitsu. If you're a guard player, if you're a passer, if you're a leg locker, whatever, if you're a wrestler, we got some jiu-jitsu for you to check out on this next card here. It's going to be incredible. I cannot wait for it. Corey, any last words here about this who's number one card? Anything sticking out to you?
Nothing about the card specifically, but make sure you tune in for all of the stuff going on next week. It's not just the main event and the matches on Friday. It's the whole ramp up to the event, right? We're talking the weigh-ins, the press conference. Stick around. It's always fun. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. A big, big week here. Who's number one? It's going to be great. Connor, any comments or questions or anything like that, actually, that we should check in on? Corey, anybody see anything?
We did have some questions. People are asking about the Donahue Death Squad and Puerto Rico movie, and that is coming soon. We don't have a date, I don't think.
Coming soon, I promise. We are hard at work at putting together a sick little documentary for you guys. We got so much footage that we haven't shared at all yet. So be on the lookout for it. You might even see a little sneak peek on March 26th. But be on the lookout, and I promise it's coming soon. Yeah, absolutely.
Daisy Fresh season 2 as well, coming out soon.
Absolutely. Daisy Fresh. Michael's hard at work on Daisy Fresh as well. So we got Daisy Fresh in the pipeline coming soon as well.
Absolutely. And if you're waiting for all that content, because I know people have been kind of chomping at the bit for a little more Daisy Fresh or a little more DDS, we do have the Nicky Rod film is free. The Mikey Musumeci film is free on Flow, and Yuri Samoy's film is also free. You can check out Yuri Samoy's on YouTube if you don't have a free Flow Grappling account, which is perfect. You know, you can hold yourself over. No more complaining about that paywall. We're liberating stuff. So it's all for you guys.
There you go. Big week coming up here, man. Like so many films on all these guys. We've covered these guys for such a long time now. It's great to have them coming into Austin for a big event like Who's Number One. I'm so excited for it. I hope you guys are too, man. Really looking forward to it. Corey, myself, Reed, Connor in the back there. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Make sure to tune in March 26th. Who's Number One is going to be crazy. See y'all later.